And welcome to the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast, preaching Jesus Christ, crucified and risen from the dead, for the forgiveness and salvation of sinners, and returning to the earth soon to rule and reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And now, here is Pastor Jim Duke with today's message.
I'm glad you tuned in to the broadcasting in this time. We're picking up our study here in Matthew chapter 19, verse number 10. Matthew 19, verse number 10. The Pharisees have come to the Lord Jesus as he's over there on the east side of the Jordan. He's been healing people and preaching unto them, teaching them. And they bring him this question about divorce and adultery and such. And so the Lord lays it out straight. He lays it out plain. He said it wasn't that way from the beginning. Divorce was never a part of the equation ordained by God. Marriage, the joining of a male and a female together in marriage and the bonds of marriage and that consummation in marriage, that intimacy reserved for marriage, that's the Lord's design. There is no divorce that's part of that design. Divorce came because of the hardness of heart, and a writing of divorcement came. It was became necessary because men of Israel would put away their wives and would leave them in a limbo type of state where they could not being joined to another man, and so that writing of divorcement was given, so it would be known that that marriage had been suffered to be broken. Again, Moses suffered it. It wasn't the design, but to deal with the wickedness of the men of that day, that's what was done to help out the women left in the state they were in. And so then they challenged Moses, or the Lord Jesus, about Moses and this divorcement, and he said this was given because of the hardness of heart. And then the Lord tells it plain that if you're married, you put away your husband, you put away your wife, except for it be for unfaithfulness before the marriage that was unknown, then if you remarry another, you're committing adultery. And so the Lord just makes it very plain. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about that. Now, I mentioned last time that we know that people do things out of ignorance. They just don't know. And they do things before they're saved. They do things after they're saved. All these kind of things happen. And there is forgiveness, even for adultery. There's forgiveness for that with repentance before the Lord, to admit before the Lord that it was wrong, that it was evil, that it was wicked, it was not according to his way and his plan. And if someone would find themselves having been divorced and remarried, there's no way to try to fix that. The Lord, we believe that the Lord would have you stay right there in the relationship that you're in and seek none other. And admit your faults, confess your faults before the Lord and disobedience to him, and then move on. And then teach your children what the Lord says, that they might avoid the heartache of these things and disobedience of the Lord. So then in verse number 10, his disciples say unto him, to Jesus, if the case of the man be so with his wife, in that he can't divorce her, he can't put her away when he wants to, it is not good to marry. And so they see this as a great restraint. And it's telling of the heart of the day of the men, that there's not a full-fledged dedication of men, and this is just a general thing. It's not for everyone, but it's a general thing. There's just not a full-fledged dedication of men to their wives. There's always that threat that they might be put away, that they might be divorced. This hangs over their head, and so it's a sad thing. It's a sad thing. And so much that the disciples, even the disciples said, well, it's good not to marry if you're going to be trapped like that. And that's interesting. And see, the Lord even told his disciples something that was new to them. It was old and from the beginning, but it was new to them, where they had been spoiled and corrupted by this idea, this thing, this backup plan of writing of divorcement that was there in the culture. His disciples say unto him, if the case of the man be so with his wife, to not put her away, and that he would be found an adulterer if he would put her away and marry another, it is not good to marry. But he said unto them, all men cannot receive this saying, save they to whom it is given. And so I said, not everybody can receive that, not to marry. For there are some eunuchs which were born from their mother's womb. So there are some men that don't have a need for the intimacy of marriage, that from their mother's womb. There are some eunuchs which were made eunuchs of men. And so those that were made such by the working of men, there be eunuchs which have made themselves eunuchs for the kingdom of heaven's sake. And so there's those by desire of dedication, total and complete life dedication to the Lord, that they don't have need of marriage. He that is able to receive it, let him receive it. And so the Lord says, the disciples say, well, if it's that way with marriage and this potential for adultery, and it's not so that you can divorce them, it's good just not to marry. Said Jesus says not everybody can receive that. Many, many men and women need to marry. They need to marry. It's the design of the Lord. It's the working of the Lord and the way that he's designed men and women. And that need for that intimacy that's only reserved for marriage. And so the Lord says, if one is able to receive it, let them do so. But not everybody is able to receive it. And so when you enter into marriage, the bottom line, when you enter into marriage, it is a solemn thing. It is before God. It is unto death. It's not to be changed or altered or taken apart by men. And so when we teach our children about marriage, we need to teach them that's a very, very serious thing before God, and to make sure that they are going to be dedicated to this one that they marry for the rest of their lives. And so that's the design of God. Verse number 13, Matthew 19, verse 13, then they were brought unto him little children. Then were there brought unto him little children that he should put his hands on them and pray, and his disciples rebuked them. And so here little children are being brought by parents, by loved ones, by grandparents, aunts and uncles, so on. And they wanted him to touch the children. They wanted him to pray over them and for them. And the disciples said, get those kids out of here. Run those kids off. It's the attitude of the culture and the day and the society about how it is with women and children. And the thing is that's not to be. There is an order in the home. There is an order of responsibility and authority in society. But to say that women and children are less, or to be abused, or to be neglected, or to be looked upon as not being of value, is wrong. And so here we see this out of the disciples again about their lack of understanding about the blessing and the value, the attitude that we should have towards children. But Jesus said, suffer little children and forbid them not to come unto me. He said, let them come to me. Suffer them. Don't be put out by them. Forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. Of these little ones comes the citizens of the kingdom of heaven. So don't push them away. Don't cause them to not come to me. Let them come to me. Let them suffer, little children, and forbid them not to come to me. And he laid his hands on them and departed thence. And so he laid his hands on them. He blessed them. He prayed for them. And he cares for them. He loves them. Verse 16, and behold, one came and said to him, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And so the rich young ruler, as we call him, we refer to him in the scriptures, he comes saying to the Lord, good master, rabbi, what good thing shall I do? What shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. And so the Lord says, there's none good. Why do you call me good? And there's only one good, and it's God. But if you'll enter into life, keep the commandments of God. He saith unto him, which? Jesus said, thou shalt do no murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And so the Lord rehearses some of them for him. And the young man said unto him, verse 20, all these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? So we find out here that this man, he's looking to keep the law as it is with men and women. We know he's not kept it perfectly, but he's been trying. Since he was little, he was taught and received it and has been trying to keep the law. But he knows deep down inside himself that he still lacks. He's uncertain about inheriting everlasting life. To be sure that he has eternal life. He lacks that solidness and that no-so hope of eternal life in the life to come. And he says, what do I lack yet? It's just not, I just don't have surety that I have eternal life. Jesus said unto him, verse 21, if thou will be perfect, if you will be perfect, if you will be mature and whole, and go and sell what thou hast, give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. The man's question is, what do I lack yet? And the Lord Jesus says to him, very plainly, I believe, you lack me. If you're hearing this broadcast and you're not saved, that's what you lack. You lack the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is the only one that can save a sinner. The Lord Jesus Christ is the only one that can guarantee eternal life to a sinner. And so it is that the Lord Jesus says, get rid of your baggage, get rid of the things that you're trusting in, the things that you enjoy. He says, come, follow me. But when the young man heard that saying about go sell your stuff, give it to the poor, and come follow me, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. And so the young man, at least at this time, is not willing to go that far. He does not see that it is worth it. The Lord Jesus asked that question, whosoever shall not be offended in me will be a possessor of everlasting life. But those offended in Christ, they will not possess everlasting life. How is it with you? I see that our time has passed for now. May the Lord bless you with the good word and truth of His gospel. Farewell until next time.
Thank you for tuning in and listening to our broadcast. We wish to invite you, your family, and friends to our services on Sundays at 10 a.m., 11 a.m., and 2 p.m., and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Olmsted Baptist Church is located in southwest Logan County, Kentucky, just 2.5 miles off of U.S. Highway 79. Between Russellville and Guthrie, turn on to State Route 775, also known as Olmsted Road. Drive 2.5 miles and you'll find our church house on the right, just beside Whipple Reel Creek. We are interested in any questions or comments you might have about our broadcast. Feel free to contact us by telephone at 270-726-3954. By email at obchurch@gmail.com or on the web at www.olmstedbaptistchurch.org.
Tune in next time for another edition of the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast.